very good Friday morning out there. WWGH Radio on a nice summery Friday in mid-Ohio. This is the Pastor's Spot, starring and featuring Mr. Stephen Whitaker. We just call him Pastor Steve around here, and his microphone mate, brother in broadcasting, Mr. Frank Robinson.
Morning.
And how are you, fine gentlemen, on this nice, humid Friday morning in mid-June?
Well, Adam, we're very glad the humidity's down a little bit today, they say, and hopefully it's going to start getting a little cooler for a few days. At least I pray that it does, right? It's been a pretty hot few days. You be careful out there. Adam's going to sneak out and do a little bit of work outside of the studio, I think. You stay cool out there, Adam. You're too young of a man to be overheating yourself. You notice I said young man.
Well, you know, it's a relative term, Pastor Steve. Since the last time that we sat face-to-face, I have aged a year, so if I sound a little older, that's okay. You know, nice, mellow, more mature voice works well.
Hey, it's good to be here today. Good to be here in studio today. We are in studio. We've been out of studio a little bit and doing it remotely, but it's a lot better to be in here. It's good to be here today. I want to welcome all of you to the show. You know that you can call in any time and have any questions or just comment on what's being said here at 740-383-9944. And our church number is 740-494-2222 at Community Christian Fellowship. If you'd ever want to call and talk to me or leave a message, if I'm not there, I'll be glad to get back with you. And, of course, you can also reach us at prospectccf.com. So we're all over the place out there. But we're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Our Sunday services are at 9:30 and 10:30 in the morning. And this week is going to be a very interesting week. We're going to be our service this week will be at the dairy on Fulton Creek, which is at Fulton Creek Road and State Route 257.
They have ice cream there, Pastor?
Yes, they do.
Goodness sakes. Now, how is there a better way to attract parishioners on a hot summer day than go to an ice cream place?
Brilliant idea, Pastor. Actually, it's a working farm. It's a working farm and it's a venue where they have a lot of craft shows several times, and right now they do have ice cream, but usually their ice cream is in the sense of for events and giving out, they don't exactly sell ice cream there, but they still have the ice cream machine, so if you come at the right time when it's running, you can get a free ice cream cone.
Definitely good. You get to see how it's made and maybe treat yourself to a little bit of that treat that just tastes so good. I mean, I like it even when it's 10 below, but when it's 80 and humid, it's one of the best things around.
Yeah.
It's an old LEP tradition.
Well, I'll tell you why we're having the service there. Of course, it'll be at 10:30 also there on Fulton Creek Road. The reason we're having that service there Sunday is because it is Father's Day, and happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. But we needed to get a baptism service in and decided that we're just going to use Fulton Creek. And in doing so, we don't want to cut into the day too much, so we thought we would just have the service and go right into the baptism there at the creek, which would be really a good way to do that.
Yes, it would.
And everybody can then leave and go to their festivities they're doing for Dad or whatever else is going on. So you're welcome to come to that service. It was good being here this morning. Thank you, Frank, for being here with me. Frank, how are you today, buddy?
I'm alive. I feel good. I know my name, so everything's going well.
Yeah, that know your name part's important.
Oh, it certainly is.
You know, this morning we met and had coffee at the church every Friday morning from 7 o'clock.
Yes.
7 o'clock till 9:30. If I'm not mistaken.
I believe so.
9:30. Yeah. We serve coffee and wonderful pastries at the church. It's all free. Mm-hmm. And it's just a good time to come together. It's right out on the sidewalk. You can stop on your way to work.
Say hi to everybody.
Right there on Water Street. We had to move up the street this morning because they're finally paving that area of Route 47.
What a big improvement.
Yes, it certainly is. But anyway, we're having coffee there this morning. That was kind of, it's nice to do that and see the different people out and about.
Did you try one of those apple
yes,
pastries?
Oh, my word.
Eve.
Yeah.
Didn't she do a good job?
Lady in the church named Eva does our pastries, and it is just unbelievable. She has such a gift and such an art at that. And it's kind of a ministry of her own.
Yes, it
and,
is.
And, you know, people think ministry, and they well, how can that be a ministry? Well, sure it is. You know, you're blessing other people, and you're providing, and, you know, there's all kinds of ways. You know, God made us all different and to do different things and to serve in different ways. And wherever the Lord lays on your heart is an area of service. I know this week we had Bible school all week long. Today's mm-hmm. the last day. And it's at the Prospect Baptist Church. We all come together in town for Bible school. And I think we're running, somewhere around 80 kids. And we have volunteer smaller churches, so people coming and serving in different ways. I know a good many of the ladies in our church are serving there and with the kids, and mm-hmm. it's just a wonderful thing to get the kids out and do that.
Oh, it certainly is.
You know, so there's all kinds of service we can do. This morning, I'd kind of like to talk a little bit about, I'm in 1 Peter, and I'm in chapter 4, and I want to begin in verse 12 and put us all the way down through probably verse 19. If I could read that this morning, I'm going to read that. It says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when this glory is revealed, when his glory is revealed. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory of God rests in you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal, or even a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is the time for judgment to begin with the family of God, and it begins with us. What will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good." You know, today, if I think as much as any time in this country, and I really do I don't like to compare our country to other countries that have endured suffering for Christ. Why they have here in a great deal and in many ways, we have not had the physical abuse, the physical genocide that we've seen mm-hmm. in a lot of countries that have stood up for the Christ and the truth of the gospel. But in another way, you know, sometimes a slow cancer can sneak up on you and you never know you have it mm-hmm. until all of a sudden it's in an acute stage. And then it's like, wow, when did I get this? Well, you've had it for 20 years. You just didn't know it. Sure. And that's kind of the what's been going on in this country. And I look at what it's caused. And the long-term effects are a genocide of their own.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is Frank and I were having a discussion this morning that if you went back just 50 years ago, 40 years ago, in our country, people that called themselves or took the name of as Christian, while there might be some different denominational differences, those who believed in the Bible and in the gospel of Christ did just that. And there wasn't a lot of argument on the main points of the gospel, nor was there a lot of argument on right and wrong.
That's right.
What do you think about that, Frank?
Everything was pretty much cut and dry. You knew what was right, you knew what was wrong. And so you tried to, first of all, do what was right to please your parents or your employer, but most importantly, you do what's right to please God.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things we question today in our country and that we're calling right that are not right. And I use this example. If you want to do something that is contrary to Scripture, you have that individual right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not something that we can claim victory in. It's not something that is right, but you can do it. I mean, you can just do it. But here's the thing: don't try to say that it's right when it's wrong. If it's wrong, it's wrong. If you want to do it, say, look, I see the Bible says this is wrong, but I'm going to do it. Just admit it. You're going to do it anyway. Mm-hmm. And I think that what we've seen in this country so much in our churches over the last 30, 40 years is they got this attitude, a society had a tendency to go more left, as I guess they call it left, I don't know. As the society started being more, how do I say, impulsive and more willing to do things that they wouldn't do before, especially in a lot of morality type things.
Yeah.
The church said, well, wait a minute, if we stand firm on this, what the Word of God says, we're going to lose membership. We're going to lose people. And because of that, a lot of them started saying, well, let's just soft pedal this a little. We don't want people leaving. We don't want people to leave. So what they said was, what the churches had basically said was, we're going to overlook some of this sin so that we don't lose people. And that really bothers me, because what happens is, you know, wasn't it Michael Jackson that did a song, One Bad Apple Don't Spoil the Whole Bunch?
Girl? Yes.
Well, he's wrong. One bad apple can spoil the whole bunch.
And it does.
And we've seen that happen. But mm-hmm. I used a silly example with Frank as we were discussing this morning. And that was that, you know, we can keep our churches full, but what are we standing on? I mean, is this something that God says is good? Is this something God-honoring? No, it's not. And it's kind of like someone comes over to your house and says, I'm not going to swim in your pool. There's only 3 feet of water in it. And my pool has 5 feet of water in it. You come over to my house and swim. Well, you look at that person with the 3 feet in it. The water's crystal clear and sparkling. And mm-hmm. okay, I'll go over to your house. Maybe it's deeper and easier to swim in. You get over there, and it's a brown, green, mucky mess.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what we've done with the church. Let's keep them full. But what are we keeping them full of? Are they people that are there to honor God, to follow God, to honor the Word of God? Are they true believers? I mean, or are there people that just are going somewhere to feel better, or to feel better about themselves, or they want someone to maybe help them rationalize what they're doing as being okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what the church is. It's not what it's ever been or ever supposed to be. And this is what we've tried to make it. Now, we wonder today why our society is in the shape that it's in. Why is it that young people don't have hope? Why is it that adults don't have hope? Why is everybody struggling for the next best thing? Why is there no satisfaction in life? And I go back to this passage, is that, you know, hey, look, if we're going to stand for truth of the Word of God and what the Lord says, we're going to endure some suffering. And that suffering is going to be from people that don't want to stand for what the Word of God says. That's where the suffering comes from. That's mm-hmm. why they punished Christ. That's why they took him to the cross. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to hear the message. They didn't want... Do you remember in Scripture where we read about, you know, when they attacked and stoned Stephen to death?
Yes.
And any time they would come after Peter them and throw him in jail, every time it was because their message pricked the hearts of those people and upset them. And what happens is people hear, wait a minute, don't tell me I can't do that. I want to do that. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not going to believe your message. Matter of fact, I'm going to ridicule your message. I'm going to say that it's not true. The truth is that the Bible, you either take it as a whole or you leave it as a nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You can't pick and choose and pull out of it what's true. And here's something really important to think about. Is the fact that, what's the Bible good for our lives today? The Bible tells us that God wants us to prosper
mm-hmm.
in His Word. We stay in His Word. He wants us to prosper and to live well. Now, I'm not one that's all over the prosperity gospel. That's not what I mean. I don't mean that, you know, if you stay in the Bible, you're going to get rich. I don't want to go down that road. But you will be rich in one way. You'll be rich in the Lord. And when this is provable by lives. People that follow the Word of God and stay in it and trust God throughout their life, they do have a life that is much richer. They handle rough situations differently. they have a life that's filled with hope, even in times of despair.
Yes.
You know, the Lord blesses us so much, and He does want us to prosper. You know, prosperity is not always cash. Prosperity is the joy in life. It's what we get out of life. It's knowing that we have purpose. It's having faith that whatever goes on in our family, we have a God that's in control and we can trust Him. And over the years, as we've pulled these things away and pulled these things away through a more, what they call a progressive, I choose to call a regressive society, we're seeing that hope is being lost. We're not going to, folks, I got to tell you the honest truth. I think the violence in this country has just gotten out of hand. The guns aren't killing people. They are used to kill people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's attitudes. Mm-hmm. It's lack of hope. It's hatred. It's growing up in despair. It's growing up thinking that, and you know, the other thing that has been pushed as a positive that I see as a very much a negative is the me first. You know, everything's about you. You take care of you. Well, that's not something that the Bible certainly promotes.
No, it doesn't.
We're supposed to love other people and put other people first. Well, if everything's about you and you feel that everything is horrible, why do you want to go on with life? And that's unfortunate, because that's where people are with that no hope. You know, my life stinks. Why keep it? And by the way, I'm going to take a couple people out with me because I'm going to take a couple people out with me because, after all, they made my life worse, or I'll show them. And the most grave mistake that a person can ever make. You know that Satan wants us to fail. Satan wants you to die, and he wants you to die without Christ. And whatever means he can do to get there, is he's going to do that.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. People buy into it. They think they're enjoying life. You know, why is it that sin tastes so good? You ever wonder that? I mean, it does. I mean, if you're appalled by it, and if you stay in the Word of God, it doesn't taste so good, and it, you know, you're not going to go there. Mm-hmm. But you know, in general, the things that we do seem so good initially. You know, let's go have fun and do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this tickles our senses. This tickles this. This, hey, look, I'm going to do it my way, and I feel good. And it always comes back to bite us.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
Well, that's just the penalty that we pay for not keeping God foremost in our thoughts
mm-hmm.
and our wishes to please. I mean, my gosh, God's our ultimate Father, isn't He?
Mm-hmm.
And growing up, I always wanted to please my parents because I knew that's what they wanted. They wanted me to do exactly what they said.
Absolutely.
And there's benefits to that. One of the benefits was that I did have hope as a child. I had hope as a teenager.
That's a really big thing.
You know,
knowing that hope, and that's what kids are missing today. You know, but you are going to be ridiculed.
Yes.
I know that I work with so many teenagers, and they tell me, the kids in schools tell me what the kids give them a hard time, even in the classrooms.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, kids are even being ridiculed by their teachers in the classrooms for taking a biblical stand and made fun of. And it's really sad, parents, what's going on. You need to question your kids about what they're seeing, because in so many areas, praise God, for the most part, in some of our local schools here, they're not getting a lot of that. But I just hear of schools that where kids are literally ridiculed anytime they speak their faith and speak up. But I want to give them encouragement in this. Remember in verse 14 it said, "If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory and the glory of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any kind of criminal or even a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name." Praise mm-hmm. God that you're going to have joy and be rewarded in the long run for that suffering, because you stand firm on the Word of God and what God says about stuff. Mm-hmm. And He doesn't say it because He hates it. He says it because He loves us. When He talks about when we follow His Word that we're going to prosper, you know, we're going to have a life that is void from some of those pitfalls that people just blindly run into that don't believe the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Please tell me out there, if you anybody that thinks that this country has gotten so much better in the last 50 years, please tell me in what way, because I can't find a way.
Mm-hmm.
Our suicide rates are through the roof. Teen pregnancies through the roof. Mental illnesses through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it goes. Domestic violence is off the charts.
Mm-hmm.
I get a kick out of it when they talk about how, boy, back in the 60s, before women had all their rights, you know, the men, you know, just beat their wives and knocked them. That baloney.
Yeah.
That's got. Look, here's the thing. And it's the same thing.
Didn't Christianity come to liberate people?
Christ came to liberate, not to condemn.
And look where Christianity originated. The abuse of women in that area.
Oh, it was horrible.
It was horrible. So Christ's coming liberated.
Mm-hmm.
The Christian faith liberates women and empowers women.
Mm-hmm.
In comparison to other religions, which oppress.
I mean, look at the woman who was getting ready to be stoned, and what did he tell them?
Yeah.
You who was out sin, cast the first stone. And, you know, that's just true. But the problem, what we've because of the despair and the lack of hope and all the other things that have happened, I mean, talk to any police officer. You don't have to believe a word I say. Talk to any police officer. They'll tell you domestic violence is crazy today. It's insane. Violence against children is insane. It is off the charts. And we've lost personal respect for one another. You know, in the area of slavery, you know, always comes to the surface. If we were so great back then, why did we have slavery? Well, you know what? Guess what? We've always had bad people that did bad things.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about this before, that, you know, slavery was such a way of life in this world from the beginning. And that doesn't make it any better. That's not a good excuse. But the truth of the matter is, the good people have always been good people, and bad people have been good people. I mean, bad people have been bad people. But when you... When you bring something to the surface, they want to tar everybody with the same brush.
Yes.
And that's just not fair. It truly is not to do that. Nobody wants you to do that to them.
Mm-hmm.
If you, you know, start talking about the percentages of people that are in an unhealthy relationship and how the domestic violence, you know, stems from that, you know, the lack of marriage and the cohabitation and that type thing, they say, wait a minute, you're not being fair. You know, look at all the ones where it does work. But when they turn the tables and want to talk about areas of things like that, it's like everybody was a slave owner, and they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
And if that was true, we never would have ended slavery in this country.
Yes.
And to prove that it wasn't the law that was the problem, which was partially the problem, it was people's hearts, that it took many, many more years after that for people to get... people that wanted to keep that situation the way it was, for them to get to the point where they were no longer abusing those people,
mm-hmm.
and still taking advantage of them,
mm-hmm.
because it's a heart issue, it's a people issue.
Sure.
And where you're going to have good people, you're going to have bad people. But you know, if we stand on what the Word of God says, it's love from one end to the other. It's the things that we're told not to do, we're told not to do out of protection for us,
mm-hmm.
and for the things that will protect our lives, will keep us from falling into things that are negative and hard on our life and destroying the testimony of God, actually, that we're supposed to be preaching. I think it's very sad today that so many churches have stepped away from the Bible. What are they doing? I mean, if you're not... part of the Word of God, and teaching the Word of God, how are you a church?
Social,
I would suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I really encourage people out there to stand firm on the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with saying I this is wrong. Another one that always throws me for a loop is that people will be very firm on, you know, this is right and this is wrong, until it's one of their children. And then all of a sudden it's, well, you know, if I say that that's wrong, that I have to say my child's wrong, and I don't want to do that. Say what? I mean, come on. If your child's wrong, they're wrong. Doesn't mean you start loving them.
Oh, absolutely.
It doesn't mean today that if I look, here's the thing. Are we only told to love Christians? No. We're told to love everyone.
That's right.
And you can disagree with people and love them. And stand firm on the Word of God. Look, I would rather be standing up straight and firm with a straight back and broad shoulders and go down fighting for the truth than just lay there and cower away with a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people are doing. They're cowering with a lie. How do you sleep at night? Look, if I believe in something, I'm going to stand firm and I'm going to be honest about it. And that's the Word of God. And, you know, I hear people say, oh, you pastors, you know, you got to watch what you say in the pulpit. No, you don't. You preach the Word of God and it's the truth. Mm-hmm. And if someone doesn't like it, they don't like it. Mm-hmm. If the government entities don't like it, they don't like it. But it doesn't change what we do.
No, not at all.
I seem to remember a couple of apostles that were told to stop preaching. And they said, who do we obey, God or you? I'm sorry,
that's
we're
right.
going to obey God.
And what did they do? They went
and
out and they preached even more so.
And I would have to tell you people out there, that would, if you call yourself a pastor and you're straying away from the truth because you're afraid to preach it, you have no business in the pulpit whatsoever. You have no business being afraid to mm-hmm. tell the truth in the pulpit. And if you are afraid to tell the truth, you better take a good hard look at yourself and see why.
Yeah.
Because the Word of God should be empowering you to tell the truth, empowering you to stand firm on the truth. Look, stand firm on the truth in love. Isn't that what Jesus did?
Yeah, it certainly is.
Jesus didn't cower from the truth. He proclaimed it.
Mm-hmm.
But he did it in love.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right up to the cross. You know, how about forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do? How many of us could do that under that situation?
No.
Under those painful, unbelievable situation, and not just physical pain, but heart pain.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to stand firm. There's nothing wrong, Mom and Dad, with that, and Grandpa and Grandma, with telling your kids no, and this is why. Or this is wrong, and this is why. To go down that road that society is telling them today hurts them to go down it. I recently know of a young lady that just attempted suicide because she had bought into this whole modern progressive sexual thought. And she ended up in a point of confusion and to the point that she decided to kill herself. And now she'll be physically affected the rest of her life by it. She did live. But it took a very hard toll on her mind and body. And she'll be there to the rest of her life. So if all this stuff is so liberating, why are young people killing themselves over it?
Yeah.
If all this stuff is so liberating and so good, why is there so much confusion? Why is there so much drug abuse? Why is all these things? They can't explain it. They want to blame everything in the world. But the truth of the matter is, it's called sin,
mm-hmm.
and sin always brings the exact same outcome, and that's always something negative. Sin leads to destruction. The Bible tells us that, and the point is, what most people aren't grasping is that God wants us to live, and Satan wants us destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Satan makes things look good,
mm-hmm.
and God tells the truth because he wants you to follow the true good, and I'll be honest, Frank, I'm a much... I love life. I love life. I love my life. I don't know how long I'll have my life. I mean, like any of us. But I have no problem as long as the Lord wants me to stay here and keep doing what he wants me to do. But I love my life because I have a relationship with the Lord.
Yes.
And I can't say mm-hmm. that would be the case if I didn't. God wants us to love life. He gave us this life. He gave us a purpose. And why are we so afraid? I've heard parents say, "Oh, I'm not taking my kids to church. They'll shove that stuff down their throat." What do they think the news media
does every night?
Does every day of the week,
sure.
And they put their kids right in front of it. What mm-hmm. do they think video games is every day of the week? You know, I find it interesting. that there's been great pressure on the gun lobby and other people to get guns off the street. And I know that we have some freedom issues on both sides. But why isn't there that huge lobby to get the violent videos out of these kids' faces 24 hours a day, where they go out and commit mass shootings and stuff, and they act it out over and over and over and over? And some of these things are so realistic and so good that you could actually use them for actual Army training.
No, sure.
I mean,
sure.
It's amazing, and these kids are acting them out, and you know, the more that you do something and see it, the easier it becomes.
Well, the more desensitized you become.
It desensitizes them completely. But why isn't there a huge charge? Why isn't the president up there saying, we've got to stop this stuff? Because his agenda has nothing to do with stopping the shooting.
Mm-hmm.
It has everything to do with a control. A control issue. We have over, I forget the number right now, I think we have over 6 million gun owners in the United States. 6 million and over a billion rounds of ammunition of legal, law-abiding citizen gun owners.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it that all the crimes being committed are mostly being committed by people that are not?
Mm-hmm.
It's because they can get them. You know, I saw a thing the other day. I was looking at it. You know, if you think that taking a gun away, gun off the street are going to change anything, they're not. I was reading an article the other day on making a hand cannon.
Oh, yeah.
A hand cannon. It is so easy to make a weapon to do anything you want with. They say, oh, these guns are so easy to get. Well, what do you think they're going to do? You don't think that they're going to not still get them?
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a good example of that, everyone out there, and I want you to pay attention to this. The most violent city in the United States of America is Chicago.
Chicago
averages, I've been told, around 30 shootings a weekend. 30! And they have the strictest gun laws in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Them and along with a couple other cities. The strictest gun laws in the United States. And they have more shootings than anywhere else. Doesn't that answer your question?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they go to places where they're still legal and get them. Come on. Taking the legality away is not going to change. You know, drugs are illegal. Boy, isn't that interesting? Drugs are real illegal, but no, nobody can get them, right?
Well, it's all about profit, Steve. Money.
Profit and supply and demand.
That's right.
We've got to address what's causing our violence. What's mm-hmm. causing our violence? You ready for this? 75% of all the violent crimes in the United States are done by people that grew up without a father in the household. 75% of not having a father in the household. That doesn't mean moms aren't doing a good job. Mm-hmm. It means they need that stability and the love of two parents. They truly need it. And even if the father's not in the household, he needs to be a very active part of that mm-hmm. person's life. And mothers need to be. Look, they learn from us. Something that we cannot get away from, mom and dad out there, is that our kids are learned from watching you. They mm-hmm. learn from watching you. And if they're watching a good example, a solid example of doing what's right, young men learn how to treat women by their fathers
mm-hmm.
or by the men around them.
Sure.
Young women learn how to treat their men by the woman around them.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we teaching? What are we passing on? Why are we keeping God from our children? Isn't that a good question? Do we see examples, and I'm sure someone's going to come up with something crazy somewhere, but do we see a large percentage, Frank, of examples of people that are brought up knowing the Word of God, trusting God in a stable family, solid families, that are doing the majority of this stuff? No, they're not.
No.
So let me ask you, Mom and Dad, what's your odds? Mm-hmm. Well, I knew this kid. He grew up in church and blah, 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 and he killed both his parents. Yeah, okay. That you're always going to have that. I said you're always going to have evil. You're always going to have sin. But my point is the percentages don't lie.
Mm-hmm.
And why aren't we taking the better percentage? If the better percentage is to bring your kids up to know who God is, to know the Word of God, to have them in church, to have them in Sunday school, to have them in Bible school. Let me tell you, I taught Bible school for 4 days this week. And man, you're talking about good, solid moral stories about how God loves these children and how his son wants to came to save the world of sin and to make these kids have hope and joy. All week long, our lessons have been about the power of God, the hope in God, you know, the blessings, his awesomeness, his unpredictableness. Yes. God does what God, you know, the kids are just eating it up, and they love it. And it's positive stuff. They're going, they all, you know, they're singing and happy. I love seeing little kids singing and happy rather than crying on the corner because they don't know where mom and dad are. They've been gone for 3 hours.
Does that tug your heart?
Oh, it tears my heart out to see little kids being abused. But, oh, I don't want to send the kids to church. They might brainwash them. Seriously? People wake up. Just wake up. You know, our country is on the verge of some real crazy stuff. I'm sorry where what you think and why you justify how you think some of this stuff. And I don't care what you thought of Donald Trump or what you think of Joe Biden. But if you take this country back a year ago, you realize that?
Seems longer.
A year ago and see where we are now. It's not Russia. It's stepping away from common sense.
Mm-hmm.
Non-promotion of the church, blaming the church, blaming Christians. I've heard more slander of Christians coming from this president than I have in a long time.
Yeah.
And Christians, wow, people, don't you realize that the majority of the goodwill done in this whole world is being done by Christians and Christian organizations?
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. They don't tell you about, and I mentioned this before on the show, they don't tell you about Samaritan's Purse being some of the first ones into the Ukraine, setting up field hospitals and food and doing that. Just go and go and go, and they do it everywhere in the world. But you don't hear about that. Well, you know why?
Doesn't sell papers.
People, the news media does not want to promote anything to do with Christianity. Because if they do, Christianity goes back to believing in what we believe in God. Mm-hmm. God has rules. God has his laws. God is going to put parameters on what we can do. Mm-hmm. And because they totally reject God, they don't want to promote anything to do with Christianity. Matter of fact, they want it to go away.
Yeah.
Why is this? Why is it that the news media will take entire weeks and dedicate it to a social issue, a social agenda on the left, when they won't even give the right the time of day? Why is that? You say, oh, they're not biased? You want to bet? Why are they not out there promoting the wonderful things that are done in these churches that are out there that are having weeks of service? I'll just give you off the top of my head a few things. There's a thing called Ohio Changers. Takes teenagers and goes into small, bad areas of the city or in towns or wherever, but usually it's a bad area of the city, and they'll pick a whole area and they'll work there for a solid week, fixing people's porches, painting people's houses, helping people all the time. I've never seen it on the news.
No.
We used to partner with a church that had a thing they did once a week, they still do, or once a year, called The Way. And they literally, it's amazing the stuff they do during that week. They go out and teach little Bible clubs with kids at apartment villages and give them, have like a hot dog trucks there. And they take you do things for the elderly. They take care of buildings. Another neat thing they do is go out and there's a guy that builds dog houses all year long. Mm-hmm. And they drive around and look for dogs that are out on a, you know, that don't have a place to get out of shelter.
Sure.
They knock on the door and say, can we give you a doghouse?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are just simple things. But I'm just saying, this just happens over and over and over again. Our Stowe Center in Columbus has dental chairs for free dental work, a pregnancy center where they help moms, not just saying, you know, with ultrasounds and whatnot, but they help them prepare. Same thing we have, Voice of Hope, right here in Marion. I mean, on and on and on the church goes. The amount of pantries the churches have, and the people they reach out to, and the going out and cutting grass for elderly, just over and over again. I don't see this stuff on the news. You know why? Because Christians are doing it.
Yeah.
And they do not want to report anything that Christians do. Mm-hmm. Because how dare, Christians are haters. Mm-hmm. Christians are haters because Christians don't buy into the whole left-wing moral agenda.
Mm-hmm. Steve, what do you say to somebody when they come up after one of your services and tell you that you're too critical on a stance?
Normally what I will tell them is,
do you take that personal?
Oh, no, not at all.
That's right. Because why?
Because the Word of God says it.
Absolutely.
All I do is repeating what the Word of God says.
That's right.
He mandates that I do that.
That's
right. The Bible
tells
us also that those of us that teach the Word are going to be held more accountable and to
That's
a
right.
higher standard than those that don't. So I'm putting myself in a place where I better be telling the truth because I'm going to be held
absolutely.
Accountable. And it's just like with, I want to tell you pastors out there, the Bible's pretty clear. You're going to be held accountable the Word of God that you teach and preach.
Yes.
And I've seen some local pastors lately, unfortunately, that have really been slipping down that slippery slope mm-hmm. of wanting to be a little soft peddling mm-hmm. what the Bible says, because they want people to look at them better. I don't want people to look at me as anything. I want them to look at Jesus Christ, and they want them to look at God and see the power, the strength, and the love there. And I'm trying to teach that and show that. I'm irrelevant in the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know what I mean.
Oh,
it's
absolutely.
Not about what adoration I get. You know, the day may come they drag me out of the pulpit kicking and screaming because our country gets to that point. And if that mm-hmm. happens, so be it. But I'm going to teach and preach the Word of God. I'm not going to stand up there and call myself a pastor, and because I put on some, which I don't, but because I put on some robe or wear some fine apparel mm-hmm. and can talk in soft, flowing tones, and my word, that's scary. I think that's what the Pharisees were doing when Jesus...
I'm sure it was, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it was. Did you? I got to ask you a question. Did you come into the ministry by your own free will for good salary?
It was good salary.
Prestige.
It was the benefits. Good benefits and good salary.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a short guy, and I thought it made me look tall.
No,
not at all. None of those things. Matter of fact, I'll tell you this. It's kind of funny. When I went to school later in life, I had felt from the time I was a young man that this is where God wanted me to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of ran from that and really didn't answer the call till my late 30s.
We have very similar backgrounds.
Yeah. I know several people that do.
Oh, yes.
And it's great because I have all that experience mm-hmm. that is good. It's great that God could still use me. But yes. I did go to school, and you know, it's funny, when I got out of school, I thought that I would just change occupations, basically, that I would just jump in full-time and be a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And I could have, if I was in it for the money and for what, there's 100 churches I could have, you know, candidated out and went to, but mm-hmm. that's not what happened. What happened was, I was asked to start a church plant in Prospect,
mm-hmm.
and I did that, and there was no salary.
Mm-hmm.
I think we started out paying me $200 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to continue to work, and then as the church grew and it built, and of course today I am doing it all full time.
Sure.
But I can tell you, compared to some of the people that aren't teaching the Word of God, I'm not making near what they are. It's just not about that.
It's not.
Loving people and sharing and wanting people to have a better life. Frank,
obeying
we got about
God
30
and
seconds.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead, Frank.
Obeying God, and He prospers those who obey. And what better blessings do you have than being surrounded by people that love you, that you help?
Amen to that.
You know?
That's the blessings I have, and those are the blessings of prosperity I
that's
have.
That's right.
I have real friends, several. I have great family. I got Adam sitting over here.
Yes.
You know, one of my libertarian buddies.
He's always a treat to see on Fridays.
He is a treat to see
on
Fridays.
Yes, he is.
Hey, God bless you guys. I'd love to have you come to church. We're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Call us 740-494-2222. Love you and God bless.
Thank you, Pastor Steve and Frank. For replays of this and other programs, wwgh1071.com.